Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Fire crews are fighting separate blazes in mountains either side of the River Shore as the dry weather persists for many parts of the country. Breed is with me here on the programme today because, Breed, you're living in Waterford. You might explain to listeners how you've been affected, Breed.
Well, I'm living in Sarine Ring outside Dungarvan, and the smoke, when the wind is blowing a certain direction, the smoke is affecting us, and I have underlying conditions. I've got COPD, and I find myself having to stay inside the whole time because if I go out, it irritates my chest even more. So that's how it's affected me, and like, I'm not sure about other people, but for me anyway, so... And, you know, we haven't been told, like, to close our windows, but we did close the windows, obviously.
Yeah, and this is going on for the last couple of days, really, Breathe, isn't it?
Yeah, it was most of last week. And, like, the one now in Waterford yesterday, we had it for a bit yesterday. It was blowing this way, but the wind has changed directions today, so we're lucky. And it was like you were in with all the heat. It was too warm to go out. And then when it got cooled down a bit and you could go out, then the smoke was there. So it was hard to enjoy any of the good weather.
When you look out your window this lunchtime, Breathe, can you describe the scene for listeners, what you can see today?
Well, at the moment now what I'm seeing is there's a low kind of cloud coverage over the mountains. And I think that might have helped. I haven't heard news this morning about whether the fires are still lighting, but I know they were going up onto the Cumbres this morning. And it's hard to see anything because of the cloud cover over the mountains.
Yeah, the cloud cover is still there. And, and I know this is obviously on both sides. You're in Waterford, and we were talking to listeners here on the programme on Friday afternoon as well. You know, residents based in County Tipperary. I mean, a difficult situation for firefighters, isn't it?
God love them. That's all I have to say. They're up to like, and I mean, a lot of people helping them out too. You know, farmers and people that have diggers and stuff like that all coming together, and that's, I suppose that's good to see. But I just hope that these fires aren't being you know, started by people, that it's
seems to be the dry weather seems to be the kind of the issue fired. And I know that the majority of the fire that started about a week ago in Slievenamon and Tipperary was brought kind of largely under control, I think, towards the end of last week, but it has persisted in some spots according to the local emergency services. But the firefighters from Shertip and Waterford, they're all out, you know, trying to get this under control. But for you as a resident, Breed, it is difficult when you've underlying health conditions and trying to keep that under
control.
It
definitely is, like breathing. You have to be able to breathe. It's tough to have to stay inside, but you have to do what you have to do. Like, it would be nice to be out, but like you said, it's the firefighters, the emergency services, and I mean, you know, with shortage of water and everything, it can't be easy on them. And that terrain, you know, up the mountain, I mean, they can't even, you couldn't even bring a fire truck up the Cumbres, like.
It's not difficult.
You
look after yourself, Breed, and thanks a million for joining us here on the programme today. Take care of yourself. I've Maureen McGrath with us. Maureen's an independent councillor for CARE, the local authority area there. I mean, pretty remarkable situation, Maureen. I mean, to think of the kind of work the firefighters have been doing in Tipperary and Waterford over the past number of days, and yet some of them have finished up their shift to find equipment damaged from their cars.
Good afternoon, Andrea, and to all your listeners. Yeah, so we had a disgraceful situation at CARE Fire Station over the weekend. As you rightly said, since this day last week, last Monday, we've had members of our fire service in Tipperary attend the wildfires at Slievenamon constantly, nearly, do you know? And when some of them, they didn't actually even return. They were still on the mountain when they were kind of made aware that there was a number of break-ins, two vehicles at the fire station on Friday night. So some, as some listeners might know, our firefighters in Tipperary, they're not full-time firefighters, they're retained. They get a call and they attend, they drop everything and they leave. And that's what happened on Friday afternoon. Most of the firefighters were on site and sleep them on, but some of them who were working with their normal day job left what they were doing, dropped everything, didn't have time to go home and change or drop off their work gear, but they did have very valuable tools and machinery, chainsaws, kangos, whatever it is, in their work vans, and they were stolen over the weekend. So a disgraceful and really, really demoralising situation for them to realise on Saturday afternoon while they were still on Stephen One.
And this is their own personal vehicles, wasn't it? Their own personal cars, Maury.
Absolutely, yeah. So they parked up at the fire station, got in the brigade, and off they went. And you know, you would think or you would hope that there's a little bit of, you know, sanctity around the fire station, that people would be, you know, mindful of the fact that we're dealing with such a dangerous wildfire at times last week. You know, they came close to houses, people were really, really, really worried. And those firefighters have been on the mountain in the literal cold face on top of the fires and trying their best to put them to quench or whatever. And then they heard that a vehicle was broken into down the street. They asked a friend to go up to the station to check their vehicles, and they found their vehicles have been broken into too. So significant personal belongings, you know, worth thousands of euro for their own personal work. So just an unbelievable situation.
Is there CCTV around the station there?
There is some CCTV down the street. There is some, yeah, for sure. And the guards are appealing to witnesses that were in the area on the night between 12 and 1:30. But look, for it to happen anyway is just so frustrating. They've been on the mountain. But look, there has been a huge community goodwill as a result. This shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have had to happen. But when it was highlighted on social media, a good community man from Care Arthur decided that he would make a GoFundMe, you know, to help the firefighters to make up that loss. And in the space of a couple of hours, it was unbelievable. Mm. They made, you know, €13,000, which, you know, they felt then was in excess of what they lost. So they paused the donations on the GoFundMe too. And like, I was speaking to some of the firefighters over the weekend, and they really want to say how grateful that they are and overwhelmed that they are. There is bad eggs, there's bad eggs everywhere, but the community response to that has just been phenomenal.
Been incredible.
You know? So they're really, really grateful. Do you know?
Well,
and they said, like, whatever is extra, they'll be donating it back to the local community, because the communities around Slieve na Mon, Killarney, Killusty, you know, the it's not just the emergency services that are there. There's contractors, there's firemen, there's farmers. Everybody is out doing what they can. And those who mightn't be farmers, they're donating food, they're bringing everything that they can to the local community and to help the emergency services. So
it's the community response to something like this is always, you know, pretty incredible. And Maureen, thanks a million for getting in touch. It'd be pretty, you know, just remarkable situation that happened in Care, to think that you'd go out and drop all and attend gorse fires like this or wildfires, and next thing come home to find after your shift that your car's been broken into and equipment and your own personal belongings stolen out of it. Matty McGrath, independent TD for Tipperary, is with us here on the programme. I suppose, you know, like, we've been talking about this, Matty, for the past week, you know, and the impact on Breed and so many other residents, but like, the climate crisis is here, and it kind of appears, sure, we're far from prepared for it, aren't we?
Well, it hasn't any climate crisis. It's just an unfortunate event. My hat goes out to Breed and anybody else like her who has respiratory problems or breathing problems. The smoke went as far as Cork, I'm told, from Slieve na Mon. It went as far as, you know, Youghal last Wednesday, Thursday. So the Cumber fired in. But I believe that, thankfully, the Cumber fire is under control. And our own fire, Slieve na Mon, is well dampened down. While the crews are still there, the air corps are still there. Couldn't say enough about the firemen and indeed the Quita staff and indeed the locals. And of course, Colleen Inmid, Fasig and Imid, it's the old story about Kilcash. Kilcash Hall and community have arisen, so has Killarney Hall and community. And they were based there, the fire people, but the overwhelming support they got from the locals is just unbelievable. There was huge fear and angst. But look, I'm not going to say it's a climate crisis because we have had hot weather. It was hotter in 76, is my understanding. But we certainly had better maintenance of our woods, of our fire pits, and we were more ready in those times.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're looking at the large areas that have actually been burned now over the past number of days as well.
Yes, and I mean, controlled burning took place all up till a few years ago by the farmers, aided and assisted ably by Cuilta, and indeed the fire brigade would have been notified. And that would was very beneficial because it not only did it remove the heather and grass, but it also had a growth of fresh grass, and that wouldn't burn, as you know. But I was standing on Friday night at the side of the mountain in a Welsh bog up over Clunine, and the fire was about 200 metres up. The local man, P.J. Hannard, and his brother, two machines, another contractor supplied them, and they cleaned the fire pad that had been cleaned for 15 years odd. And the morning after, when I rang him, he said, "Joe, you were standing." He said, "He told me it was going to happen. I could see it happening. It came down to there, and but for the fire pad that they made, walked right through the night on Thursday night, all day Friday, and again Friday night late. Locals bring them up, you know, beverages to keep them going on the machine without leaving it, and they thankfully it saved another lad's forest." Huge water treatment plant turned in for the Federal Regional Water Scheme. Again, that was under threat. They dug trenches around that. And again, farmers and contractors brought up tanks of water. I mean, huge tanks of water. Helicopters are wonderful. And the pilots, that couldn't come in them enough. But they can only carry roughly 700 litres. Whereas the agricultural farmers and contractors have 2,000, 3,000, and 4,000 tankers with huge pressure jets off them, and they can go 100 feet into the air. So they are standing at the ready, willing to help, but there was no one to ask them to come in and do this. Not ask them. I was down there Wednesday when it commenced, the local response, which said the farmers, and they were afraid, and they had the understanding that they weren't wanted, they weren't allowed, and this has to be cleared up. There must be a situation where a plan is ready, something like this, it's implemented straight away. The whole community actually.
Yeah, well, I suppose it has to be coordinated, though, doesn't it?
Kind of yes, of course, it has to be coordinated. But when these fires started 30 years ago, and they did always, the local Queens had a lot of staff, and the neighbours went to help the farmers and put it out by hand, with just hand beaters. And we see the fire brigade have those now as well. But all that kind of loss. So that needs to be reconnected with the people.
Okay.
Because it's all our mountain. It's the wonderful heritage of Stephen de Mont, famed in song and story.
Yeah, and I know when actually listeners even have, you know, sent in kind of pictures and videos from social media about the extent of the damage as well, and it's pretty shocking to see. I mean, how much has actually been destroyed as a result of this. I just want to go from Waterford and Tipperary, Matty, to Spain and France, where there's kind of similar sites there, and travel commentator of owner, I should say, of Travel Extra, Own Curry, is with me on the line as well. Like, this is affecting a lot of holiday makers, Own, as well.
The numbers affected can be overstated. There's huge numbers being evacuated. The number of actual holiday makers affected is around, it'll be past 10,000 now. But in the great scale of things, when there are 2 million tourists in Spain and 2 million tourists in France at the moment, the impact is on a small number of tourists, and it's disproportionately more on local residents than it is on tourism. But what we're looking at is evacuation of a couple of campsites and three regions badly affected, west of Bordeaux and the Gironde, and then just south of Perpignan on the Mediterranean coast and the French-Spanish border. Also inland in Spain, the Avila and Madrid area. And this morning we have some evacuation around Cannes as well, a very big campsite there. The campsites that are most popular with the Irish people, Gironde would be quite popular, but the main camping numbers, volume of numbers, go closer to the ferry. They go to Brittany and they go to the Vendée, not affected at all. A lot of people who are on their holidays will be looking at this on television and getting their information, much as we are at home, Andrea.
If you're due to fly to any of those spots that you've mentioned, what should holidaymakers do if they're concerned about doing so at the moment?
Right. There isn't an absolute right just to cancel if you have problems. And there are, in particularly, Lakhanau Sean would be a very favourite destination. It would be where I'd have brought my daughters when they were teenagers. We did some wonderful camping holidays there. Campsites are being evacuated, not because they're in danger of fire. One campsite was burned last week down, much further down, and that got a lot of publicity. But the evacuations are really preemptive, and you have a lot of smoke. So if you're the breed wears on with her COPD, if you have medical conditions with small children, with elderly people, or even or anybody with COPD, it's important that the claim, that if you pull out, that your claim goes through travel insurance. There won't be any actual refund from the tour operator or the airline. But if you have a medical, like all these things, travel insurance is case by case, a paper trail of medical advice, that's where your claim should be if you're pulling up. But you don't have a unilateral, I'm going to the Gironde this week. I don't want to go. You don't get that. You don't get your money back.
So it's just something that I suppose listeners need to keep in mind if they are thinking of changing plans as a result of the fires.
I wouldn't change plans. I think the authorities are very used to this. They're good at it. There's loads of different issues going on, and their pressure is on, the Cap Ferret Peninsula, the entire peninsula was evacuated. So you can see massive efforts being made by wonderful people in France, but it's impacting the local population. I wouldn't be cancelling holidays on it. If there is an issue, it'll be the authorities who'll decide. It'll be the holiday companies that decide. Yellow Village, that one of the campsites that is affected or just before the weekend, they have 104 other campsites around France. They've been allocating people to those campsites. The big tour operators like Eurocamp, who partner with Irish Ferries, for example, they will be moving people if there's a danger to the individual campsite. Not your problem. Continue with the holiday. They will look after you.
Simple as that. Owen Curry, owner of Travel Extra. Thanks a million, Owen, for joining us in the programme. Tipperary TD Matty McGrath, Maureen McGrath there from Care and Breathe, local resident in Waterford. Thanks a million for joining us in the programme. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.